And for many of you who know, I've been going through Ephesians, and the funny thing is that every time I've been listening to Ephesians, because I listen to it, I've been reading it, listening to it, and reading it. I love the audio Bible, especially on YouVersion. You know, it's free, you can listen to it, you have no excuse. And so I've been listening to it, and as I've been going through it, what I've realized is that Ephesians has been going through me. It's been going through me. I don't go through it. God's word goes through me. And as it goes through me, it transforms me. It helps me to be what I should be and empowers me to become what he wants me to become. You know? We can read, all of us can read God's word and say, oh, you know, I've gone through the Bible so many times. But how many times has the Bible gone through you? How many times has the truth gone through you and cleansed you and strengthened you? That's the fact about God's word. You know, oh yeah, it's nice to read. But when God's word starts reading you, then we begin to see the light of the truth in the light of our circumstance. Now, I'm not talking about relativism. No, I'm talking about truth. Truth is reality. Because it confronts you where you're at. Not relativism. There's a lot of that out there today. Oh, truth becomes applicable to me when I want it to become applicable to me. That's relativism. That's cheap grace. True grace confronts you in your situation and says, change, change, all change. You're going in the wrong direction. And again, I will reiterate that the word repentance in Greek, metanoia, comes from the military term about face. Where your feet go is the direction that you intend heading in. The direction of your life. And that ain't good. It's not. It can be good, it can be bad. But today, I want us to focus on the divine challenge. Last week, we focused on the divine purpose of God. The divine purpose of God is found in him. If you're single, it's not found in, I'm going to find myself a wife and then I'll find my purpose. No, it's in him. Don't get married while you're single and you're still looking for, you know, God and thinking, I'm going to be complete if I marry someone. No, you still remain incomplete. And then your marriage is incomplete because, number one, you don't know your purpose. You don't know him. And there remains a vacuum, a void, an emptiness. You know, so we got to understand that you can come into the church and you can have all the good intentions in the world and, I want to do this, that, and the other. And it does more harm than good because you don't know your gifts and your calling. Yesterday, I do a leadership training, John Maxwell's materials, and we did the spiritual gifts questionnaires, like 72 questions. And then you tally up and then we go like for the five strongest gifts that you have. And it was interesting to see. We did the five strongest and then we went from zero up, the five weakest. And it was very interesting. You have to excuse me, I have a bit of a sore throat. But, you know, do you really know your giftings? Do you really know your callings? Yes. We've established in him, we find our purpose. In him is his will. In him is the fullness of life. In him, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In him, in him, in him, in Christ. Okay? Well, that's a given, it's established. But now we come to the divine challenge. And that is, walk worthy of the calling you've been called to. And we'll see it. In verse 1 here, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. It's kind of interesting because in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, Paul, a prisoner for the Lord. I kind of made a little note on YouVersion this past week. Whose prisoner are you? What captivates you? What holds you prisoner? You know? But I'm not going to focus on that. He says this, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, I am compelled to tell you, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As I have already stated, is that in Him, when you're grounded in God's Word gets grounded in you. When you allow God's Word to go through you, you become strengthened. You become established. You begin to see a greater purpose in Him. And again, I will reiterate, the fact is that when you know who you are, according to His Word, you will know what to do according to His Word. There are a variety of people here today from all walks of life, and you all have different vocations in life. But there is a greater purpose for you in serving the body of Christ. And this year, we're going to see it happen. We're going to see married couples ministry. We're going to see a men's ministry. We're going to see a women's ministry. But the matter of the fact is, this is up to you to come alongside the body, because the body is made up of various gifts, a variety of gifts. The manifold graces of God that are being manifested through His body. And that calls upon all of us to do our part. It does. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. To walk in a manner. There are good manners and there are bad manners. And boy, I remember my grandmother teaching me everything about bad and good manners. Especially at the table. Don't eat with your mouth open. You know. Don't eat your food yet. You know. Wait. All of those good things. Good. Say please. Say thank you. Slap upside the head. You know. Good manners go a long way. But however, through life, we can pick up bad manners. Bad habits. We are creatures of habit, correct? Sometimes we can find ourselves going to the same coffee shop, ordering the same coffee, like hazelnut latte or caramel macchiato, always in the same place, go to the same restaurant, eat the same thing. We're creatures of habit. And here, if I can just illustrate that way for you, is that Paul says, I want you to walk in a manner, I want you to walk in a habit that is worthy of the calling that you've been called to walk in that calling. In a manner that is worthy, that is of great worth. And that's important for us to understand. Why sell ourselves cheap when we've been bought for a price? We've been bought with a price. Come on, guys. Don't settle for second price. Don't sell for silver when God wants us to be gold. That's the truth. Walk in that manner worthy, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Actually, it was Tony last week, he kind of, the illustration that you gave about Napoleon, and I kind of, I was reminded of a story that I heard many years ago, and Napoleon Bonaparte was on a military tribunal because, you know, he was the emperor, and he would execute soldiers that went AWOL and treason and so on and so forth. And while he was on this tribunal, this court-martial that was going on, this next case came up, and the soldier was brought up in front of him. And it turned out that he was like a private. And the private's name was Napoleon. So Napoleon is looking at Napoleon. And he finds out that he is guilty of going AWOL. He left the line, the front line. And that's punishable by death back in those days. And so what happened is that this private's mother comes running in. She's begging for mercy for her son, only son. Please have mercy. Please have mercy. And he says to the soldier, he drops all the charges against him. He said, do me a favor, either walk worthy of the name that you have, because my name's Napoleon, or change it. If you call yourself a Christian, walk worthy of the name that you bear. If not, change it. Move on. Because all you're doing is wasting your time, not his. If you call yourself a Christian, Christ-like, Christian, do you walk in a manner that is worthy of that? That name, that person. Walk worthy of that name. But how does one walk worthy of that calling? Well, in the final three chapters, we're not going to go all through the three chapters, so don't worry. Not yet, anyways. One walks worthy of that calling by maintaining the unity of the Spirit. When we all come together, living a new life, you have this personal standard. You see, when you become a Christian, you don't live the same standard you used to live. You live in a higher standard. You want to know where that standard is found? Here. And it's not obsolete. This is the oldest piece of literature around, and it still affects people's lives today. Why? Because God's word is eternal. His truth is eternal. Philosophies come and they go like the wind. But God's word is established forever. And the next one is living in deference, not indifference. Not indifferently. In deference. In deference means that you live in a new way, submitting yourself to God. You live to this new standard under coming under his authority. Personal relationships, boundaries. And then finally is facing the conflict. As a Christian, you will face conflict. This without a shadow of a doubt. If you're not facing conflict, I'm like, put on the full armor of God. You read that from chapter 6, verse 10 onwards. But here, as we have just read, in the first three verses of Ephesians 4, the fruit of this process, or the graces needed for this process, are the following. Humility. What's the opposite of humility? Pride. Oh, no. I don't want to do it. Somebody else can do it. That's not just indifference, that's pride too. Humility. Humility to actually come under authority. Humility to actually walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you've been called. You know, we can all sing the song, I did it my way. But how many of us will sing the song, I did it God's way? One is profitable. One is, you know, I can't even say it. And the second one is gentleness. Ooh. We live in a turbulent world. Now, gentleness doesn't mean you go around going, la, 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 I'm going to be really gentle now. No. Gentleness is meekness under control. It is knowing that you have the capability and the strength within you, but you have nothing to prove to anyone, so you walk in a manner that is gentle. That's why the old English term, gentleman, was a man who knew that he was a man. And he had nothing to prove to anyone else. You know, the old glove comes out, psh, pistols at dawn, sir. Okay, you know. Whereas in the Wild West, it was just like, bang, no slapping me in the face. Shoot first, ask questions later. But we walk in the manner of gentleness. We walk in a manner of humility. Walk in a manner of gentleness. Strength under control, that's gentleness. Walk in patience. Oh, Oh, if there's any, I've even prayed this when I was a young Christian. God, give me patience. I need it now. You know, and we can be like that. We want patience and we want it now, like instant coffee, like a McDonald's. If I don't have my McDonald's in 2 minutes flat, I want a free meal. Unfortunately, they don't do that here in Korea. So you're waiting like 10 minutes. You're going, come on. Hello. I'm hungry here. You know? I never forget that when I was in America, I went to a McDonald's and they were like, oh, sorry, sir. It's like, wow. And you're like, wow, that was quick. And they say, oh, here's a voucher for a free meal. I'm like, oh, don't do it again. You know? And then come back, you know what I mean? Always waiting for the next opportunity. Get a free meal. And I was a student, you know what I mean? I'm like, yay, free meal. You know? Thriving off Burger King and McDonald's. Heart going, you know? But patience. You know, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. You know, and we often want to rush ahead of God and say, oh, no, no, no. Sometimes the process of God is a lot slower than what we want it to be. It's like coffee. Some of us like instant coffee. There's one thing, I mean, if I have to, I will drink instant coffee. You know, you rip it off, put it in a cup, and you mix it up. Okay, I can tolerate that. But I prefer the real deal. And it takes time. I will be willing just to sit there for 15 minutes and say, I'm going to get a good cup of coffee. I'm going to get a nice blue Jamaican Blue Mountain cup of coffee. And then we just go there, Maxim, you know. It's two different tastes. Two different tastes. God's not in a rush. Why are you? But I want to see, I'm glad that you want change in your life. I'm glad that you want all of these things. You know, and that's good. But sometimes the process is longer than what you intended to be. But it also depends upon you and how much you are willing to humble yourself, humility. You know, it's very, very important that. And the other one is this, forbearance. Or bearing with one another in love. One of the things I like about the church is that the Bible, in the New Testament, they call it the household of faith. Household. What do you think of when you think of a household? Think of brothers and sisters, arguments, feel the love. No. But you got to bear with one another in love. That's where patience comes in. That's where gentleness comes in. That's where humility comes in. And sometimes I will actually see people and I'm just like, I know they can do more. I know that they can. And God goes, patience. And I'm like, I'm going to breathe. Lord, please touch them before I do. You know? And that's the process. That's the graces needed to walk in a manner worthy. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, bearing with one another in love. Those are those things. But then we got to go on to looking at what verses 17 and onwards say in Ephesians. Now this, I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. You got to understand that Ephesians is not just written to the Jews, it's written to the Gentiles. And the fact is that Paul, when he looks at the church, he doesn't go, oh, you're Jewish, you're Turkish, you're this and you're that. No, he goes, he sees them all one in Christ. He sees a kingdom culture. He sees the kingdom because we go from the kingdoms of this world. Because essentially, that's what happens in Revelation. We go because the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God. So it's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's two different realms. Everything Jesus taught was counterculture. It was subversive, in some cases, to the politics of the day. It was subversive to the religious practices of the day. And the people were mesmerized by this. They were like, he teaches with such authority. Wow. They were blown away by this man who's the Son of God. And the futility of their mind. You know, we can do a lot of good. We can think a lot of things. We can theorize a lot of things, and the futility of their minds is this, the emptiness. The purposelessness. If you want to look at it in a philosophical type of way. Purposelessness means you have no purpose. You're going here, there, and everywhere. Transitoriness. You're transitioning here, there, and everywhere. There's no consistency, because if you look back from verses 11 through 16, it talks about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and it talks about that we would all come to the maturity and the knowledge of the Son of God, no longer being like children tossed to and fro by the wind. And that's what it means. That's what happens. The futility of their minds, the futility of thinking. Just going here, there's no purpose. You don't find the purpose. And sometimes within the body of Christ, sometimes, if not the majority of times, there are people, they come and they don't understand their purpose. Not in the church, but in Christ. Because when you find it in Christ, you'll find it in the church. That's a fact. That's a given. But more often than not, we see people just floating purposelessly. Emptily, they're going along, and it's just, what is your purpose? And it's just, shh. There's this emptiness. And essentially, the whole moral and intellectual character is wasted because of this emptiness. God has gifted each and every one of us with skills and talents and spiritual gifts that you are meant to use, not just in the workplace, but here in the church. To edify one another, to build up the body. That's a fact. Is it warm in here or is it me? Huh? It's warm, do you want to turn? Thanks. Now here, the first thing is this. The process of walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you've been called is number one. Put off. Take it off. Put it off. Verses 22 through 23. It says this, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former, notice, manner of life. Manner of life. And it's corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put off the former manner of life. Put off the former lifestyle you lived. Put off the former way of thinking. Put off those things. Take it off like a garment. You know, if I can illustrate this from another reference in the Bible, is the church of Laodicea. You think you're rich. You think you're this. You think you're that. But you don't realize that you are wretched, naked, and blind, and poor. That would be applicable here. We got to take it off. Old attitudes. Old attitudes. And how do you do that? By renewing the mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Paul said again in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, that you're not to be conformed. In verse 2, you're not to be conformed by the image or pattern of thinking by this world, but be renewed in the transformation of your mind. Be renewed. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Here, what goes in will come out. Garbage in, garbage out. That's why I say that when I was going through Ephesians, eventually I went through, and Ephesians was going through me. I was beginning to see so much more. And it does. The washing and renewing of God's word is a powerful thing. You just shut yourself away and you put the headphones on. You just, I'm just going to spend this time and just go through me, Lord, with your word. And you begin to see the defining purposes of God in your life. You begin to take on a whole new mindset. You begin to act in a manner that is different. You begin to act in a manner that is worthy. You got a manner which is not worthy and a manner that is worthy. Which manner do you walk in? A good manner or a bad manner? So you put off. Take off the old garments. Again, I refer to a reference in Zechariah where you have the priest, and he's been accused by Satan, I believe. And he's told to have new clothing. So he takes the old clothing off and the new clothing's put on. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Put off. And we see this later on by putting on the full armor of God, the whole armor of God. Something you have to do. You and I have to do. We go on into verse 24. We go, put off in order to put on. Verse 24, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The new self. What is the new self? The new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Behold, old things have become new, old things have passed away. And we see this separation here. We see this putting away. Sorry, that comes next. This put on the new self. The new creation. Created after the likeness of God. My professor, Lawrence Bodley, I've quoted him in this week's bulletin. He said, the new man is the new nature, the new creation. It is not the former nature refurbished. When you're a new creation, it's not recycled. There are no scrap yards in the kingdom of God. There are no recycling yards in the kingdom of God. You are a new creation. If you're living in the old life, you're just trying to maintain a lifestyle that is not worthy of the manner of the calling to which you've been called with. Fact. And so we have this here. We see that the former nature is not refurbished, but a totally new creation, which is created in the likeness of God, in the righteousness and holiness. New creation. A new mind. A new heart. New spirit. New identity. New destiny. A new purpose. Not walking around purposelessness. Without purpose. You're working with a purpose. Put on. So you take off. You put off. You got to, literally, when you take it off, you got to walk away. How clean is your laundry? I do have an illustration, but I wish not to use it about that. But even in Isaiah, he says, your righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, the terminology here, and I wish not to sound gross or anything, but the translators rob us of a full meaning here. He says, your righteousness is like menstrual rags. Sorry, ladies, I don't wish to be grossing you out. But it's like that. It's disgusting in God's eyes. It is. I'm sorry, ladies. But the truth is that if we're not taking off our old garments, they're filthy before God. It's disgusting before God. He says, no, take it off. Put it off. Don't put it off like procrastinate, but put it off. Put on. Put off. Put on, and the next one, put away. Verse 25, therefore having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Always remember, anyone can speak the truth, but can you do it in love? Can you do it with patience? Can you do it with forbearance? Can you do it with humility? Can you do it with gentleness? It's easy to tear someone a new socket. It's easy to rip someone apart with the truth. It's easy to do that. Where's the love in that? That's called being cynical, or sorry, critical. Where's the, see, for me, truth, when you tell somebody the truth, it's like a recommendation that brings around edification, that brings around a sense of correction and change. Anyone can be brutally honest. Anyone can be brutal in telling the truth. Is it redemptive, though? No. But here he says, put away falsehood. All the things, lies, immoral living. Not just immorality as in sexual practices and things like that, but immoral living. Anything that is opposed to God's teaching is immoral, unethical. put away. Now, some people, when you think of put away, you think, okay, I'm going to put it away in a drawer. Or I'm going to put it away in a closet. No, that's not what he means by put it away. When he says this, I refer back to 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he says, okay, behold, all things become new. All things have passed away. When he means put away, it means passed away. You bury it. You bury it. And you walk away. You walk away from it. But more often than not, and I say this with love, and I say the truth in love, is that there are too many grave robbers in the church. We want to go back to that gravesite, and we want to dig it back up again. Damn bones, dry bones. No thanks. What's the point? It's meaningless. It's futile. It's emptiness. There's no purpose in it. The purpose is to put off, put on, put it away. Send it down the drain. Send it down the toilet of the garbage of life. You don't need it. It's garbage. Send it away. You don't need it. It's extra baggage. Like Pilgrim's Progress. And he's got that backpack on. He's got this burden and he's carrying it around. And he comes to the point of the cross. And he falls off. Do you think he picked it back up again?
No.
He walked on. And when you walk in a manner worthy of the calling that which you've been called to, because you've been bought with a price, you keep going forward in the right direction. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. The direction of your life is important to God. Where you look is where you go. The direction of your feet. It's very, very important. Very important. And that's why here in this, are you walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you've been called? Here in the church, here in your workplace, in your family, are you walking it? Anyone can talk it. Anyone can do that. But are you walking it? Walking and talking are two different things. We can all talk a good talk or talk a good walk, but can we walk the talk? And I believe that this church has great things ahead. Very great things ahead of it. As an international body, nationals and internationals. No matter where you're from or what you do, I believe that there are great things ahead. But we all do it together. We all do it together. I am the shepherd here. I am the lead pastor, whatever you want to call me. But it's not all about me. God forbid. It's about Christ. And it's about us working together as a body. I can't do it alone. The body relies on one another. The body works together. I think of the teenagers who come to this church, and my heart pines for the teenagers. I was a teenager once. Yeah, I long to be a teenager again, and I long for that. You guys would have your own time and have your own ministry. I do. I long for that. I long to see this church rise up and meet the needs. I really do. But we have to start being real now. Are we walking in a manner that is worthy? Are we walking in it? Are we walking in it? One of the things I've been enjoying very much recently is this really good in-depth study that I'm doing on a Wednesday nights. It's being broadcast live is on Revelation. And it's really been really transforming my life. Because I see the wonder of God in his people. I see the greatness of God in his people. I see the greatness of his purpose in his church, in his people. And my greatest desire is that this church would see that too. Would see what I see. Would walk in that. No matter what struggles you face, no matter what hardships come your way, no matter what, you'd still walk in a manner that is worthy. You go in the direction, no matter what. And then the final one, so we had put off, put on, put away, and finally this one, put on, put on. I'm going to preach on this in the future. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Being a Christian is not being a pacifist. It's being, the Church of Jesus Christ is the militant. That doesn't mean you go out and go, "Wah!" It is being militant. Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for Christ, who do you stand for? And it's important for us to actually understand that as Christians, we are to bear upon ourselves the armor of God. This is all of God. We have to put it on, the breastplate. We have to put on the buckle of truth, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of our salvation, shed our feet with the gospel of peace, hold up the shield of faith, the sword, God's word. We have to put these things on. And God has equipped us with these things. He has. If you're feeling defeated, put it on. Get in God's word. Get God's word in you. But put it on. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. That's what the word says. That's what God says. If the weapon that's formed against you is prospering, why? Are you allowing it to prosper in your life? What have you not put off? What have you not put on? What have you not put away? What haven't you put on again? Okay, on top of the new creation, you got to put on the armor of God. What have you not put off? What have you not put away? It's important for us to understand that. And again, I refer back to the illustration of Napoleon in his court. And he says to Napoleon, he says to this private, he says, change your name or live worthy of the name that you've been given. Live worthy of the name that you've been given. Christ. Christ has a name that is above every other name. In the heavens, under the earth, and on the earth. And at his name every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. Do you walk in a manner that is worthy of that name? Do you walk worthy of that name? And that's every day. I understand that we go through things, but don't let those things be excuses from drawing nearer to God. And I close with this. Putting on the new man means living a new life. The very essence of this is conveyed, as I've already said, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. To understand the essence of being a new creation is seen in the truth of Scripture. We have a new identity. We have a new name. It's written down in glory. Oh, yes, it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Sorry, old choruses. It's my grandmother. We have a new purpose. Instead of walking around without purpose, oh, what am I doing? We have a new life. New standards by the renewing of our mind, new attitudes, new outlook, new perspectives. Listen, When I was an addict, when I was a drug addict and I was in a gang and everything else like that, my nickname was Johnny the Junkie. That was my identity. That was my identity. That's what I was known as. And I had that stigma attached to me for a long time. But then when I became a Christian, I remember that the reason why my mother gave me the name Jonathan, because my mother could never have children. And by chance, there was a miracle. There was a healing evangelist by the name of Ben Harris. He came along, and actually my mother went up for prayer because she had a earache. And she got prayer, and she said, I was healed. But not realizing I was totally healed. And she conceived myself. She never had any other children after that. My two oldest brothers were adopted. Well, my other brother's, he's gone. But and she called me Jonathan for a reason. Given of God. The grace of God. When I came to the realization of who I am, I realized what I'm meant to do. I found in him my purpose. I found in him new life. I found in him a new future. I thought I would never leave the coal mining town that I grew up in. I thought I was going to be dead by the time I was 26. By the time I'm 26, I'm in Bible college in Rhode Island. People said I would be dead and buried. I would be 6 foot under. But God, when he gets a hold of your life and you allow him to do what he can only do, you will move on from where you were to where you should be. You find that purpose. And yes, I do. My standards have changed. It's been 15 years now. And I thank God for that. I've been here in Korea for 5 years with my wife. And we have been faithful to the calling. And we've walked in a manner that is worthy of that calling. When we first came here, we lived in a room that was about maybe one third the size of my office. All our stuff was still in storage. My wife had just given birth to my son, Jesse. We slept on the floor. I would cry every night. And I say, Lord, you've called me to this. And I submit to it. Help me to walk in a manner that is worthy. And I walked. And one day, my wife, the Lord told her, she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, you'll never downsize. I was like, okay, here we go. Okay, honey. He spoke to you, not me. That's good. If you heard it, that's good for me. So, and I'll be honest with you, we went from a matter of time. God has opened doors where our family has grown. When I've walked in this manner, I'm not preaching something that's out there. I'm preaching from my own life. And I remember when we just moved up to where we're living now. I remember being prompted by the Lord to go visit the school that I used to be involved in and help out with youth conferences and stuff. And we went in to visit the chancellor, and she said, can you stay for lunch? And I said, well, I wish we could. I said, but, you know, my children really want to go to the muffin shop. Well, no, cupcake shop. Lynn's Cupcakes. It's about halfway up the hill. Really good, guys. And I'm not getting paid for that, by the way. And we left it at that. The next day, I got a phone call from this chancellor, Mrs. Song. She said, I've got to meet with you. I was in an early prayer meeting this morning, and God spoke to my heart very, very convictedly. I've really got to meet with you. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go. So we met, and the result of it was this, that my children, all of my children, have been given 12-year scholarships for school. Because I'm walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling. I'm walking in obedience. I'm walking in love. Because I'm not serving myself. I'm serving the body. I'm serving Christ. And when you begin to walk in that realm, when you begin to walk in faith, when you begin to walk in obedience, and loving obedience when I say that, God will do things above and beyond your own expectations. He will. I still have to pay for the books. There are tuition fees that I still have to pay for. It is as though God has paid the 90% and all I've got to do is pay the 10%. I got to pay my tithe. But you walk in a manner worthy of that. You walk in that manner and you watch what God will do. You walk in it with humility, because before honor comes humility. Proverbs 15:33, I believe, or 16:33, one of those. You walk in gentleness. I got nothing to prove to anyone. I am who I am. Well, that's God. He is who he is, but you know what I mean. Please don't misinterpret that. Walking in love, walking in all of those patience as well, patience and forbearance. And I know that this year, lives are going to be changed. In March, we're going to be doing the Not a Fan Bible study, and it's going to be good. It's going to be life transforming. God doesn't want, you know what a fan is? An enthusiastic admirer. Oh, yeah. We all like Michael. Oh, we're all fans of something or other. But how many of us are dedicated followers? Christ doesn't need fans. He needs followers. He needs people who are willing to do what it takes in order to get the job done. And that's just not me. That's you as well. Amen? So, when you go out today, no matter how you are, if you want to know what it means, you got to put off to put on. You got to put away, put on. Know that you do, in Christ, have a new identity. In Christ, you have a new purpose. You have a new life, new future, new standards. Because when you know who you are in Christ, you will know what to do for Christ. When you know who you are, you will know what to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that there are leaders within this church. People who can benefit this body. People who can bless this body. People whom you've called to make a difference. And Lord, this is just the beginning, Lord, and greater things are ahead. Lord, we trust you. And now, Lord, as we go to take up our tithe and our offering, I just pray that you would just bless it and that it would go to the work of your hands here in this place. But Father, thank you for those who give so selflessly. And that, Lord, I pray that you would just bless it back to them and open doors of opportunity in ways and means that are just beyond our comprehension. In Jesus' name I pray.